fix. Someone said, you a junkie, Stan. Yeah, I am, especially when it comes to the praise of God. But I'm really loving Hawthorne. I believe Hawthorne is a place where people can come and be who they are. And everyone is accepted just the way that you are. I don't believe any of us think we're better than the other. And I'm thankful that we take a position of humility as to know that we all need work. That God is the God who's in control. And that he's going to fix every single one of us. I believe when God's people see themselves in that scope, God will bless his people. When you begin to see that God is the center and it ain't about you or me, then that's when God begins to bless the church. The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 2, added to the church daily, the Bible said. God did that. Verse 47, it said, based upon these two principles, praising God and having favor with all the people. And God got to just blowing that place up. And Hawthorne, I just want to encourage you with this word. Hold on to your seats, because you ain't seen nothing yet. If you think right now is good, just wait a little while. And let God continue to work on you. Because you will begin to see God adding to your spiritual family, to your physical family. You begin to see him adding blessings to your life, to your family's life, to your spiritual family's life. And it'll get to a point to where you'll be like Jeremiah. It's like a fire shut up in your bones. You just can't help yourself. You got to give God some praise. And so, Hawthorne, I just want to challenge you and encourage you as we continue on our journey. Keep trusting God. Keep trusting the process. Keep trusting the journey. And understand your destination. We've been on a journey around here in the book of Joshua, have we not? I'm going to come down. I'm going to hit you real hard and fast. So y'all hang on to your seats. But as we've been on this journey, we embarked and we've been transitioning as Moses is now gone and Joshua is taking the reins and leading the children of Israel. And as people of God, I believe that the word of God applies, if not always directly, it applies indirectly. And there's some principles and some things that God has laid forth for us to stand upon and to be assured that he's in control regardless of what it looks like. There may be some things in your life right now where you may be struggling with. There may be some obstacles that are in your way. There may be some hurdles that you're going to have to jump over. But I want you to know something about your God. It's not that God doesn't know, because he knows all things. But God is wanting you to say that you know that he's in control and that everything's going to work out for the good. It may not always be good, but it's going to work out for the good. And when you love God and know that you've been called according to his purpose, you can walk courageously and confidently, understanding and knowing that everything's going to be all right. I have been challenged a lot here lately, it seems, as to see whether or not I really believe in what I preach. And it's interesting to me, as the challenge comes, before it gets to me, I can see it. And I begin to say, oh, that's what you're up to. And I begin to see the craftiness of the devil and begin to see how he wants us to doubt, how he wants us to be discouraged, how he wants us to feel helpless and hopeless. But then I also see on the flip side, oh, that's what you want me to do. And I'm talking about God, how he wants you to stand firm. Trust him when it don't make sense to you. Keep moving with confidence. Be encouraged to know you have a helper. Be encouraged to know that the Spirit will give you what you need when it's time to give it to you. I just want to take just a few moments because I think somebody in here this morning needs to know it's just going to be all right. Life has a tendency to just bombard you. Life has a tendency to want to jack you up. But that's why you don't live life with life. You live life with Christ. And when you live life with Christ, he gives you that abundant life that allows you to maneuver through this life and see that this is just a passing. This is just a crossing. This is a means to the end to get you where you're really trying to go. We sang that song, Heaven's on the Other Side. How many of y'all believe that? Do you really believe that heaven awaits you because of who you are in Christ? Because when you do, you position yourself to walk boldly and courageously through this life. There's nothing going to ever be that you go through that is too hard for God. And there is no secret to what God can do when you just trust him and let him into your life. I like the God of heaven because he's always at work and he ain't scared to let you know what he's doing. Matter of fact, he wants his children to testify and talk about what he's been doing in their life so the person next to them can understand that he's going to be working with them in just a few moments. He can work with me as he works with you all in the same time and all at once, and he can position us both to be successful. But the question is, do you trust God? Sometimes it comes down to a point where you just got to ask yourself, self, do I trust God? I see the challenge, I see the obstacle, I see the hurdle, but bump the hurdle and the obstacle and the distraction. Do I trust God? Because when I trust God, that obstacle and hurdle don't seem like an obstacle no more. Matter of fact, it seems like a platform to help me get to where I'm trying to go. Someone ought to say amen this morning. You got to position yourself to be used by God. And we've been on this journey as we journey to Jericho. As we journey to Canaan's land, we got to cross over Jericho, over into Jericho. And then we got to cross over Jordan. And we have to, you know, maneuver about and see what God is doing as we're walking that way. Makes no sense to go to your destination and not understand how you got there. That's what I'm talking about. Makes no sense to go to your destination and not learn some stuff along the way. Truth be told, if you don't stop at folks' houses along the way to your destination, you're not going to get what God's trying to give you along the way. See, sometimes in life, you roll up against an obstacle. And if you'd have just stopped by so-and-so's house before you got to the obstacle, you'd have had what you needed when you got to the obstacle. That's why sometimes when you get to the obstacle, you're defeated before you even get there. Oh, I wish I had somebody who knew what I'm talking about. You ever see a problem rolling up on you and you feel defeated before the problem even comes? You see that problem and you're like, oh, Lord Jesus, here we go again. Instead, what you should be doing is you should have been stopping along the way in the pit stops of your journey to allow God to fill you up with what you need. So when you get to the obstacle, you stand bold and courageous and you say, bring it on. Why? I've gotten what I need. I'm content in whatever state that I'm in. I know God's in control and I can trust him. Sometimes that's hard and it's difficult amongst illnesses and different things that plague us. But I want you to know this morning, we have a God who's bigger than the stuff. Matter of fact, truth be told, the stuff only exists because God is who he is. He don't allow nothing to happen that he don't want to happen. Don't nothing go down in your life that don't ever go by God. No, God, it has to run by him first. Job was reminded and reminding us, I believe, even till this day, that only because God allowed the hedge to be let down was Job's life tested. Had not God allowed the hedge to come down, the devil couldn't have messed with him. But truth be told, the only reason God lets down the hedge is because he knows you can handle it. Somebody ought to shout. God don't let you go through something that you can't handle. That's when you're hooked up with him. I got any believers who hooked up with the Lord? When you hooked up with the Lord, you don't worry about stuff. You have your moments because that's what the human side of us does, but then you kick it in spiritual high gear and you say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm talking about people who believe, who trust in God. This ain't my sermon. I'm on my way to my sermon, but while I'm here, I need you to know sometimes you just got to take some stops in your life. And you got to allow God to fill you up with what you need. When you go on a vacation and you go on a journey, you got to make certain stops along the way. Sometimes you got to stop because you need some more gas. Amen. Sometimes in life, as you're rolling, you run out of gas. So what you need to do is you need to stop by the spiritual chevron and fill up. Come by the divine presence of God and get the things you need for your car. And then don't put the cheap stuff in there. Are y'all listening to me? Don't go grab a scripture to just kind of cope. No, go grab some scriptures. Meditate upon them. Let them feed you. Let them fill you up with the things that you need. So when you leave out of Chevron, that spiritual Chevron, you can leave out zooming. See, some of us, we go to God and get a quick little filler-upper, if I may. And then you be mad when you roll and all of a sudden your car go hiccup, and amen, somebody. Yeah, if you settle for cheap stuff, that's what you're going to get. And even in life, as you're on your journey and when you take vacations, not only do you stop to get gas, but you got to stop because you're hungry. I wish I had a church. I'd preach a little right along in that. I read somewhere in the book of Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled up. Quit getting the dollar menu stuff. Quit being in such a rush to get to your destination. Why don't you stop at the choking puke, as the truckers call it? Why don't you take a minute and sit down and enjoy your meal? Quit woofing down your prayer and your meal at the same time. Give thanks to God for the moment and appreciate that he allowed you to stop and get something to eat. Well, that ain't my lesson, but boy, it's so good right along in there. Sometimes you just got to thank God for where you're at and appreciate what he's doing for you. So on our way as we journey to Canaan's land, we done stopped last week at somebody's house that some of us wouldn't normally stop by, but then the flip side, a lot of us be stopping by now. But anyway, I'm just saying. But hey, amen, y'all get that on the way home. But we stopped by Rahab's house last week. Y'all remember that? And when we stopped by Rahab's house, we found out she wasn't the woman she used to be. And then we found out that we are not so far removed from Rahab. Truth be told, we want to look at Rahab and say she a straight, show enough straight out sinner. But truth be told, we ain't far removed. Truth be told, we probably underneath Rahab. Because at least by chance, Rahab was honest about what she did. Say amen, somebody. Some of us be faking the funk when it comes to our walk with the Lord. Sometimes we act like we doing it, but in reality, we really ain't doing it. At least Rahab, the Bible said, was a harlot. She straight up said, that's my name. Y'all quiet, amen, somebody. She's been known from the dawn of time for that. And is even known as that when you read scripture. But to a point to where she would be honest enough to open up herself and follow after the commands and the law of God. She would allow God to come into her life and to expose her for who she really was. And that was last Lord's Day. We talked about that. I'm not the person I used to be. Three ideas we created, and we began to see Rahab's condition. And we saw our condition. Then we began to see Rahab's condemnation. She was damned when God showed up at her house. Amen. And truth be told, that's the same for you and I. We was damned when God showed up in our life. Had we not had Jesus, had God not have stopped by our house and forgiven us of our sins, Paul said we would be a men most miserable. We'd have no direction. We would be lost. So we saw her condemnation and we saw ours as well. But then we began to see the spiritual compassion of the Lord. And we begin to see how God loves us enough that he would allow us to change. But today I want to speak from part two of I'm not the person I used to be. I want to look at three ideas. I want to look at a divine condition. A divine conviction. Is that all right? And then a divine salvation. When God shows up at your life, when he pulls up and he comes on in, there's a condition he comes in. Say amen, somebody. Have you ever seen God when he roll up in your life? God ain't looking sad. He ain't looking mad. He ain't looking miserable. He's not sick. He's not woe out. He's not tired. He's not wrong. He's not sinful. Say amen, somebody. Matter of fact, he's the reverse opposite. He's loving, he's kind, he's merciful, he's righteous, he's spiritual. Matter of fact, the very aura of God, just the shadow of God himself can change your life. And so I need you to know that when a divine condition shows up in your life, it's time to look and see what it's really all about. Y'all got a few minutes? I want to walk you through a couple things, because in verse number 8, I want to read again real quickly. And David, again, amazing job, man. You be reading that scripture. And Nico, thank you for that prayer. Beautiful prayer, my brother. But Joshua chapter 2, I want to read verses 8 through verse 11 one more time. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said unto them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord did what? He dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. We heard of it, our hearts did what? Melted in fear, and everyone's courage did what? Failed because of you. Check this out. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. I'm talking about a divine condition. Rahab heard about the God of Israel. It was a message of judgment that she heard, but it introduced her to the true and living God. The message that came was to her a message, I'm convinced, of life. And I don't know about you, when I'm down on my luck, when I done jacked it all up, I don't need nobody coming along and giving me a worse condition than I already got. Say amen, somebody. I don't need you to come put your foot on my neck when I'm already down. Truth be told, I need someone to help me up from that state that I'm in. Why? I'm wounded. I'm hurting. And chances are I already know what I done, so I sure don't need you to tell me what I've done. I wish I had a church. I'd preach right along in there. Folk don't need you to tell you when they've been drinking, when you know they've been drinking, that you've been drinking. They already know they've been drinking. What they need is you to introduce them to a new drink. People need a new condition, a divine condition outside of their condition. All of us got a condition this morning. Every single one of us has a condition. And you might not like your condition right now, but I guarantee you can change it when the divine condition shows up. When Jesus comes in and he exposes you for what you are, he also exposes you to a better way. You got your Bible? I need you to do some reading for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, and we'll be there in just a moment. Ernest, I need you, if you would, I need you to give me the scripture, brother. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, and then I need Nico, you do good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I want to show you what a new condition looks like, because when a new condition shows up and shows you that there's something better than what you got, amen, somebody, then you don't mind changing up, amen, somebody. I used to think I knew what love is and what it was, but I've been learning better. Amen. I used to think that I knew what was going on, and then Jesus showed up, and I knew nothing was going on with me. But he exposed me to a better way, a better lifestyle outside of the way that I knew. And here's how he did it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. I'll go on and start. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, the gospel.
I preach unto you.
Yeah, read.
Which also you have received.
And wherein what?
And where you stand.
Look here. The gospel, when it's given to you, when a new condition comes in, amen, that's something you can stand on. How many of y'all was able to stand on your old condition? Yeah, we reeling you in now. We finna preach a little bit. See, I'm glad that I don't have to stand on stuff that I created that kept failing. I'm glad I don't have to, you know, carry behind the stuff that I thought was working that ain't working no more. I'm glad now I can give all of that up and get a new condition. And the condition I have is rooted in God. I've declared, Paul said, the gospel unto you. What's the gospel? The death, the burial, and resurrection. The good news. Any of y'all need some good news? You ever been in a condition where you needed some good news? Well, you got some good news this morning. Someone say good news. No, say good news. Say some good news. How many of y'all like bad news? I didn't think so. How many of y'all like good news? Sometimes you just got to shout and appreciate that God has stopped by your house and given you one more chance. Any believers in the house? Any Christians in the house? How many of y'all know you're saved? How many of y'all glad you're saved? How many of y'all glad he saved you? It's a new condition. See, stop focusing on the stuff that you was doing and focus on the stuff God wants you to do. See, I love Rahab because Rahab brings it real. Rahab says, you know what? When we heard about what had happened, when we heard about what went down, we were scared. Matter of fact, fear melted us. our courage left us. Amen, somebody. You ever been in your condition and you were so wounded by fear that you couldn't be courageous? How many of y'all done had that condition before where all you know is it's going to go down and you scared that it's getting ready to go down? I'm glad we got God, aren't you? God comes along, Paul comes along and encourages us as believers. The gospel's been preached unto us and we stand upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. What did he do? Keep reading, it gets better.
By which also you are saved.
We're saved if we would. Keeping memory.
Of the preacher to you
unless you believed in vain. Right, wait, that's the problem. If you're going to take the condition of God, then you got to take Rahab's position. You can't just see it for what it is, but now you got to believe in it. Oh, yeah, let me come on close to you. We want church as long as it's convenient. We want God as long as things are going good. But as soon as stuff hits the fan, we often wonder, well, God, where you at? Well, he's still there. The question is, where are you? See, it's easy for us to position ourselves in the conditions that we are to say we on God's side. But it's another thing, as they say, when the rubber meets the road and the grits hit the fan and the heat get turned up and the lions get to roaring. I wish I had some Bible scholars up in here, and I know I do. Where you at? In the Daniels in the lion's den. How many of y'all could go in the lion's den still praying and talking to your God? How many of y'all can tell, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, I don't care what you do. Turn the fire up. Matter of fact, I do my best work when the heat is up. I'm talking about legit stuff, a condition that when it speaks to you, you say, I'm with you. See, you can't stand if you ain't with God. If you don't believe and have faith and you don't trust God, you're going to be like the wind. You're going to blow a little here and a little bit there. You're going to be like the sea. You're in one minute and you're out the next. Y'all don't know no folk like that, do y'all? I'm going to look this way. That's why you pop in Hawthorne when you want to. Amen. I know why. The divine condition ain't caught your eye yet. Because when the divine condition catches your eye, you ain't got nothing else in mind. It's about being in the house of God. I don't know about you. I'm glad we in transition. These sermons, they helping stand. Amen. I'm learning to be a better dude. Amen. I used to have a lot of fire and just vigor and all kind of foolishness in me. But I still got some. I ain't going to lie to you. It's still there. But I'm learning to turn the corner on some stuff. I'm learning to appreciate what God has done for Stan. So you know what happens now? Every morning I get up. You know what comes out of my mouth? Thank you. You know what the next thing that happens? I look over. Halisa's still there.
Thank you.
I go in there. Stanley's still breathing. And I do another thank you because he's still asleep, amen, somebody. But I'm understanding what God is doing to me. See, he's exposing me for what I am not to expose me to what he is. Just let y'all chew on that for a minute. Keep reading. The Bible says what?
For I deliver unto you all that which I have received.
That what? Christ did what?
How that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture.
Woo! That's a hallelujah moment. For believers, that's a hallelujah moment. He died for our sins according to what?
The scripture.
Look, look, look. When God shows up in his divine condition, you ain't got to see it. All you need to do is hear about it. That's all right. Come on close. Let me get you closer to me. Rahab, she had faith not by principles of things she saw, but what she had. Now, I know what we like to do. I had heard when it come to the drama. Amen, somebody. When stuff start going down and the gossip start flowing from the lips, I had heard so-and-so and that went down. That's what I had heard. I'm just saying. Well, what else have you heard? Have you not heard something to change your condition? Chances are, because you are listening to all of the stuff, the rhetoric, the foolishness, that's why you're in the condition you're in right now. But if you flip that up and heard something else outside of the junk you've been hearing, maybe that's going to get you through your storm. Come close. In other words, quit talking about everybody else's storm. Are you listening to me? And how they getting through their storm and what's going on with them. And why don't you turn internally and begin to ask God what you can do to get through your storm. Amen. It's easy to focus on the other person who's going down. Yeah, because that relieves you of looking at you going. I'm just saying that I don't mean no harm along in here, but before you go there, I want you to think about something. Think if we stop fooling around with foolishness, what would happen to us? Think about if we just decide to dismiss all negative stuff.
Yeah.
What would happen to us? I know what would happen. We wouldn't be clock-eyed. Yeah. Amen, somebody. We wouldn't be dry. Yeah. Amen. You need some explanation on that? You know the Eeyore syndrome off of Winnie the Pooh? Hiya, Pooh. We'd be able to dismiss all of that stuff. We'd get rid of the thanks for noticing me. No, we'd move all that stuff out the way. Amen. And we'd be a little more happy in church. See, I don't know about you. See, this is, to me, this is one of the reasons I came to Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. Because these are some principles. These are some things I heard. I didn't have to see it. But when you tell me Christ died for me and all of that junk, all that condition and state I was in, man, please, I'll gladly give it up because I want to get close to Christ. I got any ex-sinners in the house? Where your ex-sinners at? That's who I want to talk. I'm talking about the ex-ex-sinners. The triple ex-sinners. Yeah, the ones who rode by Rahab's house. Holler at me now. I'm trying to get you to see conditioned people. See, when you understand the divine condition, who he is, he's the game changer. He changes everything in your life. Keep reading, because I'm going to preach right there, and we ain't going to get no further. Read.
And that he was buried.
He was buried.
And that he rose on the third day,
according to the scriptures. And if that's not enough for you, he was what? Seen. Amen. You ain't always got to see it. Let somebody else see it. Amen. And just believe it. If I tell you God's going to come back and get us, and that's based upon his word, don't have to see it, just and when you've had an opportunity to be around a seasoned saint who has left here from labor to reward, amen, and they're going to tell you, baby, it's going to be all right. I'm going to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now you can see something based upon what you heard. And when you leave, you see them leaving out here peacefully with a smile on their face, knowing good and well they're going on into Abraham's bosom. Then that's when you get to shouting. Yeah, you're going to have a few tears. Stuff's going to hurt, but you ain't worried about the negative stuff. You worried about the positive stuff. Ain't no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness. I ain't got to worry about death. Matter of fact, I get to wave at death and say, where is your sting? Where is your victory? Matter of fact, let me scoot and skip on in here because I'm headed on to the other side with the Lord. What are you saying? It's that divine condition. He said he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. But before that, he was buried. And then he rose again. On the third day, according to the scripture. You remember that song we sing? Jesus rose with all power in his hand. He died on Friday evening, but he
rose on Sunday morning.
He has everything. And he just stopped by this morning to show you a divine condition. You get 2 Corinthians chapter 5? I got you in Romans 3. Hold up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore,
if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ.
A divine condition. Ain't nothing you did. But he showed up. And because he showed up, he showed out. And when he showed out, he said, come on, let's go. And I love a God like that who will say, I don't care what state you're in, roll with me. Guido, they don't want you to roll with them no more. Roll with me.
That's the Godfather right there.
But are you listening to me? That external stuff don't matter no more. The foolishness changes the nature of how you see things. Because now you're not looking for that. You're looking for God. See, God begins to expose you and tell you you ain't doing it no way. And I ask you to ask God in your life. Here's a challenge for the week. To expose you to you. And then ask him to help you see him. Because I think too much we're looking at us, and we think we got it figured out. And we're setting ourselves up for failure because what we're doing is we're presenting a false condition to ourselves. Oh, you all right, child, don't worry about it. You just slipped, don't worry about it. The Lord knows your heart. He understands. Amen, somebody. I'm tired of telling myself that lie. And then no sooner than I tell myself that lie, I got another lie. Because when the stuff go down, it'll be all right. The devil's after you.
No, duh, the devil's after you. He's after you because you're enlisting, you know, hey, devil over here, yeah, let's roll you. No. And then when it really goes down and it's all bad and you stressed out and depressed and you just worried about everything in the world, now you need a psychiatrist. Amen, somebody. And then that ain't working because, you know, that's just another person telling you about yourself. And then when they tell you about yourself and they try to give you some coping, you know, mechanisms to kind of help you along and little exercises, then you don't want to do them because it's too much work. You're already tired. I know what I'm talking about. Been there, done that. Now all of a sudden you need a pill. Do you see our condition? And then after you get them pills take you up. Then you get up there talking about, ooh, it's scary up here. Now you need another pill. Need it to bring you back down. Well, do you got a pill that just puts you in the even spot? Talking about condition. And by all means, if you've been prescribed medication, though, please take it. Especially before you come to Hawthorne. We do have some ushers and some bouncers up in here who don't mind bouncing you out, and we don't want to do that, but we also don't want you flipping over pews and running down aisles. Just thought I'd throw that in. We don't need to see your condition to hear about your condition, I'm just saying. Where was I? Oh, yeah, but then you take a pill. And some of us, you know, we don't even do that with psychiatrists. Maybe we can't afford it. Maybe we ain't giving them our money. I'll do something else. We go get some sleeping pills. Oh, doc, I just need something to help me sleep at night. You're lying again. What you need to do is see the condition of God. But instead, you go on and get you some of them wonderful sleep aids, and then you take them, and all of a sudden you, oh, child, it's gone. You sleep. You sleep. And then, all of a sudden, while you sleep, you got a nightmare that come up on you. You wake, oh, Lord, what happened? I know what happened. You over there taking another condition outside the condition of Christ. Don't look at all that stuff that's designed to pull you away. Look at the stuff that's designed to pull you to. That's why Paul says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. You don't work like that no more. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, we ain't like that no more. Tell your other neighbor, neighbor, we ain't like that no more. Amen. Stop focusing on your old condition and look at the new condition. All right, I got to get up out of here in just a moment. But look what the Bible says here in the book of Romans, because I feel this is one of the midnight sermons right here. Romans chapter 3.
And verse?
Which one you want to read? I'm just
21?
Messing with you. Verse 23, I'm just messing
okay,
with you.
Okay, verse 23 in Romans. For all have sinned.
And what?
And fall short of the glory of God.
We read this last week, y'all remember? But guess what happened?
And are justified.
How?
Freely by his grace. Freely.
Free.
Freely.
Free.
Amen.
Who like free stuff?
Amen.
Now, it's amazing to me. We'll go get anything that's free.
But this.
But when it comes to the condition of God, we turn our nose up at it. He's trying to give you free advice, free direction, free instruction, and you paying for all the other stuff. Are y'all with me still?
Amen.
Move out that condition, that old one that you're in, and see the new condition. You know what I think about Rahab? I think when she heard about what happened, how God did what he did, crossing the dry ground, the Red Sea, and then being able to get rid of Sion and all, I think she had a sense of, whoopsie, I'm exposed. But I tell you what, if he could cross folk over on dry ground, surely... He can look past my harlotry.
Yeah. Amen.
I wish I had some time right. No, I'm going to take a little time right along in there.
Amen.
Come to Fellowship Circle at 2:30. We're going to talk. And here's my position at 2:30. How was it when you got saved? What did that look like for you? How did it make you feel? What did you do after you came into your new condition?
Yeah.
Were you on fire? Were you unstoppable?
Come on.
What kind of zeal did you have? How was you strutting, talking about I'm saved?
Amen.
You know, what did it look like for you? I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you got to go back to the beginning. to get you through where you are right now. Say amen, somebody. See, when you understand what he did, then you can understand what he gonna do. And when you understand what he gonna do, then you can understand what he's gonna do.
Amen.
See, we wanna get to the gonna do before we get to the do. Don't do yourself like that. Go back to the first of what he did, come to what he's doing right now, and go to the future of what he's gonna do in your life. See, I don't know about you. I shout because I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I may not always be on the right track and in the right condition, but I know where to get one.
Amen.
And it just takes a moment to talk to my God and say, I blew it, but help me out here, Lord. Can you forgive me? And you know what he does? Shows up again. You know what he gives me? A new condition.
Amen.
And it don't cost me a dime. Being justified freely. But read that next part. I didn't get to this last week, but this is some good stuff, and I'm going to shut it down.
Freely by his grace.
By his what?
By his grace.
You know what them spies were to Rahab? They were grace.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
They were the carriers of grace.
Amen.
See, we think going into that kind of house. Yeah, it got real quiet. Y'all hear that? Well, where they going?
Yeah.
Well, let me drop this. Where the sinners are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. And sometimes what a sinner needs is a grace card.
Redemption, yeah.
What they need is for someone to stop by and say, you know what? Because you believe and have faith in God, because of your request to us, you're going to be all right. We servants of God.
Amen.
We ambassadors for God.
Amen.
We Christians who are soldiers on the battlefield for
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And somebody this week needs you to let them know that everything's going to be all right. They need the same type of condition that you've been exposed to. They've been exposed to enough conditions. Now they need the right condition. They need Jesus.
Amen.
But being justified freely by his grace. Read.
Through the redemption.
Through the what?
Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus.
We pick up next Lord's Day on point number two, a divine conviction. When a divine condition is present in your life, it demands a divine conviction. God don't need you half-stepping with him.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Come very close to me. God doesn't want half of you. He wants all of you. And when he shows up, he doesn't demand half. He demands all. He wants the whole. So don't say, I'm with God, and your faith go this way. No, no. Tell your faith go back that way, because that's where God is at. When stuff starts getting rough, don't throw up your hands.
Yeah.
Throw a towel somewhere and you just keep going the right way. Hey, fans. Y'all ever got to throw something? Raise your head. Make sure it's soft, okay? It's all right. Some of y'all will catch it on the way home. But I want you to see something in the book of Romans 3. Being justified freely by his grace. And then what did he say? Through the redemption.
Through the redemption.
Through the what?
The redemption.
Of who?
That came by Christ Jesus.
It's believed in every Greek city. In the midst of it was an agora, of which it literally means a place of redemption, where they would go and they would buy and sell and trade slaves. Three ideas originate from that agora in the Greek. The first word and the first definition of it speaks to a large degree as to state that, you know, maybe a master would go in and he would buy a slave for a season as to go and help him, you know, man the fields and different things. And then after that season was over, he would take him back. Then the second idea originates and it brings about this concept that, you know, a master would go in and he would buy a slave. And that would be it for all eternity. That would be his slave. He would work at his house and be who he was. But that third concept brings about an idea of a master going in and buying a slave as to set him free for all life in hopes that he would enlist himself as a slave to another. Let me drop this in on that third concept and that third idea. The Lord came in, purchased us with his blood, showed us a new condition so that we would enslave ourselves with his new condition and give us a new addition in our life. Sometimes you just need a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance. Sometimes you just need a hand up. Sometimes you just need someone to let you know I got you covered. Sometimes you just need someone who's bigger than you, who has more understanding than you, to lift you from the state that you're in right now. Are you here this morning? Do you need a hand up? Let me tell you something. God's right here. He ain't going nowhere. His condition is the same and it ain't changed. All he wants you to do is to surrender. You got to see the new condition. And here's how you see it. The same way Rahab did. Romans 10, 17. She didn't see it. She heard it. And faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by
word of God.
But after you hear, you got to believe this stuff. Yeah. John 20 and 30, Jesus, many of the signs that Jesus did in the presence of the apostle are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe and believe and have what? Eternal life. You got to believe this thing. Mark 16, 15 and 16. He that believeth and is baptized
shall be saved.
Shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Yeah. Then it's time to repent. Change your condition. Quit relying on you because you're sinful. You can't do it. I'm so glad Jesus died because I sure wouldn't. I'm just going to be real with you. I love all of y'all.
Yeah.
Amen. But I'm having issues dying for Halise.
Come on.
And I love that woman. Amen, somebody. Amen, stand. Just say amen. Amen, I love that woman. That's my girl. Let me tell you, that's my dog right there. But anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Catch me on one of them days where she done made me mad. Nope. Any real folk in the house? Yeah, we got them people that trying to be careful along here because y'all be recording stuff, but you know, it's hard. But Jesus willingly, freely, no conditions, no strings attached, died for me. And for you, a new condition. So repent. Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Then after repenting, confess him to be the Christ. We're going to talk about that next Lord's Day, about a divine conviction. Rahab got to hollering about God. Look at verse 11. Your God is. He's God.
That's right.
You know what she was speaking to? She was speaking to Jehovah.
Amen.
She was speaking about the covenant that God had with Israel.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, when you speak to the Almighty about the Almighty, about who he is, you find favor with him. Amen. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
When you start getting close to God and getting rid of everything else, God starts seeing that. And you know what he does? His favor starts encompassing you. It starts blessing your life. It's amazing we ask God for stuff, but we won't invest in the very one whom we ask stuff from. But see, Rahab invested. You know how I know? She hid the spies. Amen. She was willing to give up Caesar for Jehovah. I don't know about you. On any given day, I will sell you out for God. Y'all didn't hear me. I will gladly sell you out, get rid of you to walk with God.
Amen.
And I love everybody. I love people. I love humanity. I even love Halise. But if she don't want to do it,
for God,
I'm sticking with God.
Because
I heard how he allowed them to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. I heard how he rose up against countries and nations and destroyed them, literally demolished them. I heard about how he allowed Daniel to be in the lion's den, and he didn't shut Daniel up. He shut the lions up so he could hear Daniel. Come on, somebody. How he allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to get off in the fire but come out not even smelling like smoke. I'm talking about the God of heaven. So I will gladly confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And maybe you're here and you're not a believer. I've given you four steps already. The fifth step is you need to be baptized. Baptized for the remission of sins. See, that's what's going to change your condition. That's what's going to wash away all your sins. Boy, when my daddy told me that, and Lord Jesus, he was preaching hard that Sunday. I think the folk had made him mad or something, but I don't remember what happened, but something happened. He was preaching hard, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to hell. I'd like to come to Jesus, please. But I remember being baptized. And I'm at age 12, and I know you probably think, well, what did you do? Well, I stole a whole lot of bubble gum.
Yeah, and I don't know what your story is, but my conviction is the fact that I thought I was going to hell over some bubble gum I stole. So you know what that did? It drove me to come to Jesus. Now, since then, I've done some other stuff, which I ain't proud of, but I don't regret.
Thank you.
Because it brought me to the place that I am today. And I love that God, throughout the entire time, has continued to show me his condition. So are you here this morning? Not a believer, come by faith, repentance, accept him. Let us baptize for remission of your sins so you can leave out of here saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And maybe you're here and you are a believer. We're still at Rahab's house. We're going to be here for a minute. Rahab got a lot to say. She done a lot.
Yeah.
So she got a lot to say. I say that again. She done a lot.
Done a lot.
So she got a lot to say.
Got a lot to say.
Maybe you're here with me as a believer. Maybe you've done a lot.
Yeah.
So you got a lot to say. And it's all based upon the fact that God has rescued you from you.
Amen.
And he's given you a ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Of reconciliation.
Yeah.
That God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. That we might be the righteousness of him through our obedience to the word. Well, I've preached long enough. God bless you. If you need to respond to the Savior's invitation, please do so as together we stand and sing.